Psalms. So take your Bible, turn to Psalms, and let's go all the way to the last one. Psalm 150. Now, this is Sunday school, so it's not a normal church service type of thing. So I want you to know that I'm a college instructor. So in my classes, we are engaged and we interact. So you're going to be interacting and engaging in today's Sunday school lesson as well. By the way, you didn't just come to church today to get something. You should have also come to church to give. And I'm not talking about finances only, but I do think that's part of why you come to church is to give. But we want you to give your thoughts, your ideas as well. So I have four questions about praise from Psalm 150. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to read responsively. I'll read verse 1. You guys all together are going to read verse number 2 out loud. I'll read verse 3. You'll read verse 4. And we will go through this. And, oh, I don't think we could start this Thanksgiving better than the standing of reading the scriptures together. So let's stand and read Psalm 150. I'll read the odd numbers, 1, 3, 5. You guys will read the even numbers, 2, 4, and 6. We'll have a word of prayer and you can be seated. Psalm 150, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Everyone together, praise. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp.
Praise him with the tambourine. Praise him with strings and the tambourine.
Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Everyone, as loud as you can with your breath. Let Father, I pray that these next, I don't know, 48 hours, 72 hours that we have together, I pray that we'll have a revival of praise and thanksgiving to you. Father, I am so thankful that our forefathers saw the need to take time in our country to center on all the things we should be thankful for. In a way, Lord, it's an indictment to us because we should live this way all year round. But Father, I do pray that in these next few days, in our homes, in our own personal walk with you, in our church together, that we would have a revival of who you are and what you have done for us. Lord, may our hearts just be full when we leave Monday night of thanksgiving and praise to you. And Lord, may it all start this morning in Sunday school in understanding and answering these four questions from Psalm 150. Give us a great Sunday school hour together, one of praise and thanks to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's thankful children said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. It's just good to read scripture together, isn't it? I just think it's a great thing. All right, we got four questions. Where should we praise God? Why should we praise God? How should we praise God? And who is to praise God? Let's look at this. Where should we praise God? Look at verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his, everyone together, sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. The firmament of his power is outside. The sanctuary is inside. So where do you praise God? You praise God inside. And you praise God outside. In other words, you praise God everywhere. That's exactly right. You praise God everywhere. Inside. Now, the word sanctuary is very interesting. It means sacred place. Sacred place. Now, everyone get this. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Let me tell you, a satanic philosophy that has entered the church decades ago. And you know what that philosophy from hell is? That in the Christian's life, there is a separation between the sacred and the secular. Now, let me tell you how subtle that is. So we're doing our little sacred thing today. We're coming to church. But tomorrow I will do my secular thing. I will go to work. That is not taught in the scripture anywhere. In the scripture, there is no division in the Christian life from sacred and secular. To the Christian, everything is to the glory of God. Now listen to me. You should not watch football unless you can bring glory to God with that. Well, I just crossed out football for Thanksgiving. Not necessarily. I believe in diversion. I believe in rest. I believe in my personal walk with God, I have to have some times that I just click it off from some things. But I believe that that's a very important of my sacred and my sanctuary and my on my time for God. Brother Shetler, do you play golf? Yeah. I don't play often. I don't play good. But I do like golf. It takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of money. But there are times when and you know what? I'll just be honest, I love to walk. And I love to be by myself, actually. And it's a time that me and God get together. Now, I'll go golfing with others, and a big part of that is for the fellowship of those individuals. I'm just telling you this right now. If you cannot do whatever you do for the glory of God, then it should be out of your life. There should be no secular part of your life. So when the Bible says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his, everyone, okay, now listen to me. Well, that's sanctuary, so we should praise God when we come to church. Well, you know what? We ought to absolutely praise God when we come to church. And if you're here, we ought to be praising God in our singing, in our attitude, in our words, and everything. And you're going to get a chance to do that in just a few moments. You're going to be able to praise God absolutely in the church house. But gang, let me tell you all something. This week, let your car be a sanctuary. Let your car be your sanctuary. So you get some good Christian music, which we're selling some on the back. You get some good Christian music and you sing in your car. And by the way, don't just listen to that music. Sing with that music. Then you know what? Turn the stupid music off every once in a while and just have a talk with God. And just have fellow. Let your car be your sanctuary. How many are going to work Monday or Tuesday? Raise your hand. You're going to work Monday or Tuesday. Okay, a lot of you. Now listen to me. That workplace, now brother, that's secular. No, it's not. You make your workplace sacred. And you make sure that you praise God at work this week. And wherever you are. Now it says in the sanctuary. So here's what I think. Any place that has a roof over you, whether it's your car, whether it's your house, whether it's where you work, or whether it's here at the church, or it's the restaurant, wherever you are that has a roof over you, praise God. This week, if you've got a roof over you, oh, this is a sanctuary. This is not a secular part of my life right now. This is every part of my life. There is no secular part of my life. I'm going to praise God. I'm under a roof, so I'm going to do what? Praise God. I'm going to praise God in the sanctuary. Everything in my life this week, and it should be for all of your life, is a sacred time. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do. But then it says this. In the firmament of his power. God has revealed himself to man in three ways. God has revealed himself to man, I usually put this as the last one, I'll put it as the first one, in special revelation. That special revelation is the Word of God. He has revealed himself to us in the Word of God. Matter of fact, the other two that I'm about to tell you, you cannot know everything that God wants you to know just from the other two revelations. You have to have special revelation. God gave us his word over a 1600 year period by 40 different men. They were just instruments of God that he inspired, that he, God breathed his word for two reasons: the revelation of God and the redemption of man. And those were the two reasons why he gave us the Bible. And so there was special revelation. Then there is intuitive, God consciousness revelation. You know what you do sometimes? You ever come across an atheist? Ask him this question. Hey, and be very, and really, it's a very interesting question to ask. When did you become an atheist? Now, by the way, almost without an exception, every answer I've ever gotten was when they went to state university, by the way. That's when they became atheist, which is interesting. But there is no question, I have never asked that question of an atheist, that they did not give a period of time in their life that they became an atheist. And you know why, Bob? Because nobody is born an atheist. Nobody is born an atheist. It is a part of man to believe in God. God put that in every person that has ever existed, that man wants to believe in a supreme being. That is a God consciousness in intuitive. So he's revealed to every person special revelation. That's why we got to get the Bible around the world for missions. But also, every person has a God consciousness. By the way, they're going to stand accountable for that God consciousness. They've got the law written in their heart. They may never have heard of Moses. They may never have heard of the Ten Commandments, but it is written in the heart of every human being, is that law, Romans chapter 2, verse 15. But then there is one other revelation. And this is a very important revelation, because the Bible says that all men, whether they ever hear the name of Jesus Christ or not, all men will be without excuse. You know, Brother Scheller, I've always struggled with that. I've always struggled with that, because if they've never even heard the name of Jesus, how can Jesus be justified by sending them to hell? Because there's no other name under heaven whereby you must be saved. So how can all these people that have never even heard the name of Christ spend an eternity in hell? I'm going to tell you. Number one, they have a God consciousness and they rejected it. But number two, God revealed himself, first of all, in general revelation. Let me tell you what general revelation is. Creation. Creation. Every human soul that has ever existed over the last 6,000 years of mankind's history has had in them the ability to look at general revelation and go, there's the sun God and the tree God and the river God, or there is a God. But general revelation, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 21, indicates that all men will be without excuse. Why? Because of general revelation. Now, what does general revelation do for us? What can we know about God? Okay, now this is going to be difficult for you. Okay, this is going to be really hard because you guys know the Bible so well. Could for you, just for a moment, okay, we're going to start taking some answers, so that means people are going to have to start raising their hands, men and women. Okay, here we go. If you never read the Bible and all you had was creation, what would you know about God? All you had was creation. You don't, so let me give you a little hint because I don't want to embarrass anybody, all right? Now, my students, I would embarrass, but I'm not gonna embarrass you. So don't say love. I know he would be a God of love. No, you do not know that. You cannot look at nature and say, what a loving God, the way those lions destroy those other animals. What a loving God, those hurricanes. They're just such an act of God's love. No, I'm telling you. You cannot know about a loving God without special revelation. But what can you know about God from general revelation? Yes. God is powerful. You cannot deny the fact that the God who created this world is powerful by looking at general revelation. Amen. What else? What else? Give me one. Okay, that there's life and death. Ooh, these are good. Okay, so what do you know about God then? About life and death and about natural laws? Okay, natural laws would show us that God is orderly. This has to be a very orderly God. That there is life. That this God is a God of life. Zoe, he's a God of life. Okay, so those are good. What else? Yes. Okay, this is good. This has to be a very purposeful God because everything has its purpose. He's got to be a purposeful God. He's got to be a life-giving God. He's got to be an orderly God. He's got to be a powerful God. Not bad, guys. Go ahead. How and where do you see that in creation? Oh. Let's stop here. Okay, so you're going all over. Let's do beauty. Let's do beauty for a minute. This has got to be a beautiful God. How many of you have ever seen a sunset? I won't ask if you've ever seen a sunrise, but okay. Isn't it unbelievable, the beauty of God? It is unbelievable. Just look at those way those leaves change. Why, by the way, why can't those leaves just change brown like they do down in Florida? Why do they get to turn yellow and red and orange? Why? Because he is a beautiful God. He is a God of absolute beauty. What else? What else do you know about God? Yeah. By the way, ladies, you can say something. Go ahead. Okay, what does that mean to you then? So he's a creative God. Go more detail. I won't let you get away with that. Okay, let's use a different word. He's very diverse. He's extremely diverse in what he... By the way, look at how many dogs there are. Look at how many fish there are. Why can't there just be one fish? Why is there so many? Why can't there just be one dog? God is a God of diversity, a God of beauty, a God of order, a God of life, a God of power. These are really good. Anything else? We could go on and on. Yes, finally, a lady. Of what? Oh, precise. Oh, I love that. God, but you can look. By the way, look at the detail of God. Look at how precise he is. By the way, the seasons, everything is precise. He's a timely God. He's a precise, I love that. He's a detailed God. All right, now listen. This week, praise God. If you're under a roof, praise God in the sanctuary because you should make wherever you are under a roof a sanctuary. There is no difference between secular and sacred with any of you. How many of you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Okay, there is no such thing as a secular part of your life. So if you're under a roof, praise God. But if you're outside, praise God in the firmament. When you are outside, find something else. Matter of fact, we're going to stop right now. We could keep going, but I'm going to let you keep going this week. Take a walk. Get in general revelation and just praise God. Look what it says. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in your Toyota Camry. I looked it up in the Hebrew. That's what it says. Otherwise, your sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament. When you're in general revelation this week, and get out in general revelation. And general revelation is not Ross dressed for less. Okay? General revelation is not Olive Garden, all right? General revelation is creation. I don't care if it's your backyard or a park or wherever, but go praise God in general revelation. All right, so where should we praise God? Inside, outside, wherever we are. Number two, we gotta get going, don't we? Why should we praise God? Why should we praise God? Boy, look at verse two. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Okay, this is so cool. Praise him for what he's done, his mighty acts. Praise him for who he is, his greatness and his excellence. So this week, when you praise God, this should be under, my question is, why should we praise God? Here's why we should praise God. Because of who he is and because of what he has done. And these next, I'm telling you this morning, wait till you find out who he is again. And tonight and Monday night, we're gonna praise him for who he is. And we're gonna praise him for what he's done. So let's do some exercises now. Y'all ready for exercise? What are you talking about? Well, not physical exercise, spiritual exercise. So here's what I do in my classes, and I used to do it with my boys and my wife when we went on vacation. I'm going to give you a letter of the alphabet, and you're going to shout out attributes of God that start with that letter. Praise him for who he is, and praise him for what he does. All right? So we're only going to do three letters, and I picked out like the three easiest letters because I wasn't sure about Bible Baptist, okay? So I give you the three easiest letters. Now listen, we're not raising our hands now. You're just shouting it out. And if we're doing a really good job, someone will shout out something that's already been said. And it's okay, because that means they were really thinking. They weren't paying attention with anyone else. So that's good. They were really thinking. So here we go. I'm gonna give you the first letter. And then just shout out attributes of God that start with that letter, all right? This is such a good exercise. Here we go. The first letter is, now just shout it out, okay? Just let it rip, Bob. Don't be thinking, don't be worrying about this is your opportunity. Here we go. The letter is S. He's a saving God. He's a savior God. He's a sufficient God. He is a superior God. He's a what? A strong God. A sanctifying God. He's supreme God. He's what? Oh, wow. I don't know if I've ever had that word used. I got to think about that word for a minute. I don't know. I have a hard time calling him selfish. So I don't know. I don't know. But that's an interesting, there's a concept there that you may be onto. What else? A smart God. Oh, I was waiting for sovereign. I was waiting for sovereign. A sovereign God. Excellent. A what? A satisfying God. A sacrificial God. Ooh. Saving God. Okay. Next letter. You ready? Guys, by the way, that was really good, class. Good job. C. Caring. Compassionate. Creative. What'd you say? A calm God. A controlling God. A cool God. A conquering God. A comforting God. A clever God. A courageous God. A what? Okay. A counseling God. All right, here we go. Easiest letter in the alphabet to do. Are you ready? By the way, you guys are doing really good. P. Perfect. Powerful. Passionate. Providing. Prince of Peace. Double. Perfect. Protecting. Present. Ooh, I like that. Pure. Ooh, you guys are doing really good. A perfect God, a providing God, a pleasant God, a peculiar God. A what? A patient God. A what? Powerful God. All right, so why should we praise God? Because of what he has done and because of who he is. Whoa, that's really good. All right, number three. Where should we praise God? Inside, outside, everywhere. Why should we praise God? Because of who, what he is and what he's done. This outline just pops out of this passage. Look at verses 3, 4, and 5. How should we praise God? Praise him with the sound of trumpet. Praise him with psaltery and harp. Praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. How should we praise God? Are you ready? With everything you got. He goes through everything here. Everything you got. Praise him. Praise him. Now, I know when we read the word, everyone here at Bible Baptist, you independent fundamental Baptist church, we struggled with the word dance. So let me show you. No. What we're going to practice. No. What does that tell you, though? Obviously, anything concept of what we have of dance in 2022 is not what they're dealing with here, okay? But what does that tell you? It isn't just musical instruments here. It's everything you got, friend. It's everything you got. You use to praise God. Now, here's what I say. All in. When you praise God, you are all in. Don't just pray, well, I guess I got to get up and give a testimony. I guess I got to say something. No, then just stay there and sit down and don't say a thing. Because if you're going to praise God, you praise God with everything you got. Okay, hey, we got to get going. We got one more yet. So this is go. I had a bunch of things. I have to put this up. With everything you got, your talents, praise God with your talents. Some of you guys can do things. You are musical. Some of you have other talents. You're artistic, whatever. Some of you are good cooks. Hey, you know what? Can you praise God by the way you prepare your meal for Thanksgiving? I do. I think you can. I think you, everything that you got, you can praise God with. Your talents, your treasures, your time, your talk. Everything that you have. How should we praise God, Brother Shetler? With everything you got. And I think that's with 3, 4, and 5. All right. Then finally, who is to praise God? I love this. Look at verse 6. Who is to praise God? Let everything that hath breath. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. By the way, those are the last words of the book of Psalms. Praise ye the Lord. Who is to praise God? All right, so here's your answer. Everyone together right now, take a deep breath. How many are breathing in this room right now? Every one of you are candidates to praise God. Now listen, everyone and everything that God has given breath to should praise the Lord. If you're breathing, you should be blessing. If you're breathing, you should be blessing. Let's all say that together. If you're breathing, you should be blessing. So what are the qualifications for praising God? Let me tell you what they're not. They're not age. Aren't you thankful for that? If you're under 20 here, raise your hand. Okay, there they are. Praise God. Are you guys breathing? Praise the Lord. If you're over 60 here, here goes my hand. If you're over 60 here, raise your hand if you can. Okay. Okay. Praise God, you got breath. It doesn't have anything to do with your age. So if you're with people, I don't care what age they are, they ought to praise God. They ought to be praising the Lord. Number two, it has nothing to do with education. Whoa, am I thankful for this. I don't care if you didn't graduate from high school. I don't care if you have a doctor's degree. Praising God has nothing to do with age. And praising God has nothing to do with education. Number three, I'm glad for this. It has nothing to do with your ability. I don't care if you're really good at something. I don't care if you think, man, I'm a real loser, Brother Shetler. No. If you got breath, you're not a loser. You are a candidate to praise God. And God is still giving you your breath. It's not about your age. It's not about your education. It's not about your abilities. It's not about your looks. It's not about your economic status. And God's people said, okay, like if you're going to praise God, you have to give $100. Aren't you glad that praising God has nothing to do with finances? Man, everything in our world costs something. Praising God doesn't cost, it doesn't have anything to do with how much money you have. If you're rich, you're poor, it doesn't matter. You can praise God. It doesn't matter about your health. Now, I've had a lot of sickness this fall. I've had some bronchitis. I've had some different, I had food poisoning out in California. I've had just a lot of different, and I'm going to tell you, it's hard to lay in bed and praise God, but praising God has nothing to do with your health. You say, oh, I'm not doing real good this Thanksgiving, Brother Shetler. I don't know if I'm going to be able to praise. Yes, you can. Because praising God has nothing to do with your health, your ability, your education, your age. It doesn't have anything to do with your gender. If you're a man in here, can you say amen? Amen. If you're a woman in here, can you say praise the Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter your gender. And it doesn't matter your ethnicity. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're from. You can praise the Lord. Look at this. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. If you're breathing, raise your hand. Okay? If you're breathing, you should be blessing. You should be praising God. Where should we praise God, Brother Scheller? Inside, outside, everywhere. Why should we praise God? Because of what he has done and because of who he is. How should we praise God? With everything you got. Who is to praise God? Everyone that has breath. Are you ready to start praising God? Man, we need to praise the Lord. Father, may we be a church. And Lord, let us just start these next 2 days. And I believe, Lord, that we can start something that'll carry on for the rest of the week, into Christmas, the next month, and maybe even into the next year. But Lord, let us take the next 48 hours. And Father, if you've given us breath, may we praise you for who you are, for what you've done. When we're inside, when we're under a roof, may we make it our sanctuary. If we're outside in general revelation, may we thank you for who you are and what you've done. When every time that sun comes up, may we thank God for another day. Father, may we that have breath this week praise you with everything we've got. May we not just say a little, well, thank you God for this, thank you God for this food, and thank you for stuffing, and thank you for white meat, and oh Lord, there is so much else to praise you about. With everything we've got, may we praise you. We ask these things in the one who's allowed us to have a relationship with you, in the name of Jesus Christ, who we're going to praise in the next service. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And God's children said, amen. Amen.